I heard Rabbi Waxman said over a story of there was a poor man who lived opposite a very wealthy neighbor. He was very jealous. He used to watch the rich man's lifestyle, the cars he drove, the house he lived in, all the gashmias that the rich man owned. And he was always wishing if he could have a lifestyle like that. One day he was standing there staring, and the rich man noticed him. And he asked him, "What is it? What are you looking at so much?" He said, "I'd love to experience the life you experience. Just once to taste the life you have." So the rich man said, "Okay, if you want to, that's not a problem at all." He says, "Next week I happen to be going on a business trip that I hadn't planned previously, and have a list of appointments for that day. For that day, you can take care of my appointments. You go to the meetings, do everything I had to do. You'll act as me, and I'll go on my trip." So he says, "Thank you very much. He's excited. I'll do it." Comes the day of the trip, and they come in a limo to pick him up. The rich man is on his way to the airport, and then the limo will continue with the poor man taking him with gives him a list what he has to do. He's getting in the car, and the rich man looks at him and says, "What? Look how you're dressed. How are you going to go to meetings like that?" So he says, "Quickly, well, stop by my house, go to the closet there and take out a suit." They stop by the rich man's house, and they put in, he runs in, he puts on a suit. He doesn't fit him very well. He's got a hat that looks strange on him. And he has no choice. He runs back into the car. Doesn't look great. They drop off the rich man at the airport. And then they take him now, the things that the poor man has to do today, representing this rich man. He has a business meeting. He goes into the business meeting. They're sitting there around a table, executive boardroom, and they start discussing different financial ideas, revolving credit, derivatives, and this poor man is looking, he hasn't got a clue what's going on. He's asking questions. He hasn't got a clue what to answer. They look the way he's dressed, and they start laughing at him, like, what is he doing there? He doesn't understand anything. He looks like a mishogan, and he has to have his yoinis at that meeting. And then they take him to a dinner where he's being honored. They tell him he's speaking. They call him up to speak. He gets up to speak. Of course, he has nothing to say. He mumbles a few words, stammers, and sits down. And again, the people are laughing at him. And he goes through the whole day, different bizyoinas. The day is over. The rich man comes home. He goes over to the poor man and says, "No, how did you enjoy it?" He says, "It was horrible. It was a disaster." He says, "Why?" So he tells him what happened. The rich man says to him, "Of course, what do you expect? If you want to enjoy, you want to feel, you want to experience a life like that, you have to prepare for it." And this is the lesson that we have to take. You want to feel, enjoy, experience a yontif, one has to prepare for it. What do we do for preparations? And you look around, Klal Yisrael preparing. I overhear many people preparing. Different types of preparations. Imagine you're in Pathmark, Erev Pesach, and you see a couple who all of a sudden, you think they're going, turn into the Passover aisle. And you overhear the conversation. What to buy? They need some Streitz matzahs, grape juice, chocolate-covered matzahs, Mrs. Adler's gefilte fish. And then you hear them complaining how difficult it is, these preparations for Passover. And you're thinking to yourself, they think their preparations are difficult. They should come to my house and see what it means preparing a Pesach. They should see how difficult it is. They've got no idea. And you're laughing at them, what they call their preparations. And the same way as you would laugh at such a person, the Malachim look down at us, and they know that tonight is going to be tomorrow morning's Kabbalah Satira. And they look at our preparations, and you hear people discussing, which meal are you eating, Milchiks? How many cheesecakes do you have? Don't forget to buy flowers for your mother. And I'm not saying it's not important to buy flowers for your mother, but it's important to recognize what is the Ikka and what is the Tofel. What is Shavuos about? It's Kabbalah Satira. How does one prepare for Kabbalah Satira? So you'll tell me back then, they had preparation Kabbalah Satira. They went through Yetzias Mitzrayim, Akrias Yamsuf. They saw Amon, Nisim in the Midbar. They saw enough. They learned Emunah B'Tachan Rabbeinu Shalom. That got them ready. But how are we supposed to prepare ourselves in 2010 in America today, in Tavshin Ayin? How do we prepare? So if you look, we say in Shabbos and Davening, Hashemayim Mesaprim Kveikel Masi Yodav Magda Rekiyab. You can learn unbelievable emunah, bitochen, understanding of the Rabbeinu Shloilem. Everything you need to learn, you can learn looking at the Bria around you. Hashemayim Mesaprim Kveikel. From Shemayim you can see it. The sun, moon, stars, everything that happens in the world, you can learn about Bori Olam from. But the apostle continues and says, "But Torah Hashem Tamima, whatever you can learn from the Berea, you can learn even better from Torah itself." Their preparation for Matan Torah was a preparation without the Torah, because they had to have other things to help them prepare. We have Torah itself. There's no better way than preparing for Matan Torah than actually learning Torah. Torah Hashem Tamima, Mashiach Novesh. That will be the achana for Matan Torah. But part of the achana also is to appreciate what it means that we'll be given this Torah. That's why it's very interesting. It's famous, the Gemara that says, there's machlokes Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Loza, every yontif, do you do chatzi l'Hashem and chatzi l'Hashem? Do you spend half the day on yontif yourself and half of the Ribbono Shel Olam? Or is it kulei l'Hashem? Rabbi Loza holds the whole day is either kulei l'Hashem or kulei l'Hashem. You choose. Depends what type of person you are. Do you want the whole day of Yontov yourself or the whole day of the Rabbeinu Shloilem? And Rabbi Shua says, which we pass in like, you split the day in half. But the Gemara continues and says, even Rabbi Lozu says that every Yontov, you're allowed to do Kula Lashem. You can choose that. Shavuos, you can't. Kula Alma Moida Debi Nami Lachem. You have to have Lachem on Shavuos. So Gemara has a question. Why? The Gemara asks. You would think this is a day of Kula Lashem. Sit and learn all day. So Gemara says, Yom Shnisna Poter Yisrael, is the day Torah was given. How does that answer the question? Because Torah was given, that's a day. Because of that, to sit and eat, it would make more sense to sit and learn all day. What's the pshat in the Gemara? So I thought perhaps you could say pshat like this. I always heard a pshat when I was young, of why is Simchas Torah on Simchas Torah? It should be Sukkot's time. Simchas Torah should be on Shavuos, make much more sense. Why is it at that time of year? So the Dumna Magid and many others say a pshat, give a marshal like this. There was a king who had a daughter who was very sick. And there were people who told the king, the only way this daughter of yours will survive is you put her on an island somewhere and she never sees a man until the day she gets married. So she lived all her life like that. Now it came time for her to get married. And there was difficulty finding a shidduch. Yes, it's a princess. But who wants to marry a girl without ever seeing what she looks like? And eventually they found somebody who said he's willing to marry her. So they go down to the chuppah, a huge wedding, a fancy wedding. They go down to the chuppah, and you can imagine the chosn is terrified, trembling there, like, who is he marrying? He doesn't know. He's hoping for the best. The veil is covering the color. And all you can see is a hand looking to see if there's something grotesque sticking out. Nobody's allowed to see her beforehand. He's terrified. Then after the chosn, she seems pretty normal, but probably she's a schizophrenic, probably she's a, not somehow. You know, he's waiting for the other shoe to drop. And he's living with her, and a few months go by, and he sees, wow, she's a wonderful person. He's very happy with her. 6 months later, he goes to the king, and he says to the king, you know, I'd like to have another wedding. The king says, why? It was such a beautiful wedding. I spent a fortune on that wedding of yours. He says, yeah, but I couldn't enjoy that wedding. I was so nervous. I didn't know what I'm getting into. Now I appreciate what a beautiful daughter, what a wonderful girl you have. What a wonderful wife I have married. I'd like to have another wedding that I can really enjoy. So the Dumna Magid explains, when Klai Yisrael received the Torah, they didn't know what they were getting. So therefore, when did they celebrate? After they tasted, they had the Torah. 6 months, what a geshmak it was. Simchas Torah, then they were able to celebrate, they wanted another wedding. So this pshat always bothered me, because it takes away from Shavuos. So Shavuos is not so geshmak, it's not so exciting. Klai Yisrael said, Nasa Nishma, they didn't know who they're marrying. The color is the Torah. Look, is it a color we want? And I think the moshel is slightly different to the nimshel. Pshat is, you have to say, and I'm sure the Dumna Magid meant this as well, Klai Yisrael said, Nasa Nishma, that emunim betochen Rabbeinu Shlom. They were 100% sure the Torah is geshmak. And it was geshmak. But whatever they thought it would be geshmak, they didn't know there was something as geshmak as that. Whatever they thought it was even better than that. Tamuru ukitov Hashem. When they tasted it, they saw it was even better than they ever dreamt. And they said to Rabbeinu Shlom 6 months later, we celebrated then. That wasn't enough of a celebration. We need another chasna. But they celebrated the first time as well. Rashi says over here, Kula amo medamin nam lechem. Why do you need lechem? She yismach moi b'machol mishto. La harais to show. We have to show everybody that we're happy with it. We're not miserable. Even though we're saying an Asa v'nishma, we're still happy with the Torah. We don't have to wait for Simchas Torah to celebrate. We can celebrate even more the second time around. But we have to appreciate what the Torah is. And in order to do that, we have twice the Arachaim HaKadosh makes it very clear to us. Once I think I mentioned in Parshas Yisroi, where the Pasuk mentions, Vayisum Refidim. And this Pasuk is out of order. Because the Pasuk says, B'chodesh HaShlishi, in the third month they came, Bol Midbar Sinai. And after they come to Midbar Sinai, the Pasuk now goes back. How did they get to Midbar Sinai? Says the next Pasuk, Vayisum Refidim. The Pasuk Vayisum Refidim should be before the Pasuk of B'chodesh HaShlishi, that they came to Midbar Sinai. First tell us where they came from before they got there. Says the Arachaim HaKadosh, that this was a day where the whole world was waiting for. The Rabbeinu Shloilem, the Torah was waiting for it. The Elyonim, the Tachtoinim. From the day of the Bria, they're waiting for this day to arrive. And when it came, the Torah itself couldn't hold back from saying, oh, Matan Torah is arriving. Where they've come to Midbar Sinai, we become the Torah. So right away, the first thing the Torah does is says they arrived. Then he can go through the details. But the excitement stopped the Torah saying the little details. First it wanted to say, the time we've been waiting for has arrived. That is the feeling you're supposed to be to have, that we're waiting for our Kabbalah Satorah. But one step further than that, the Arachaim HaKadosh says in Parshas Kisavli, the Somachta B'chol HaToiv, should be happy with all the good. What does it mean, all the good? Says the Arachaim HaKadosh, the Ein Toiv Ela Torah. Toiv means Torah. Shem Hoyu B'nei Odom Margishin. If a person would be able to feel Mesikas V'arevas, its sweetness, how Geshmak the Torah is, Toiv HaTorah, the goods of the Torah, Hu Mishtagein, they would go crazy, Muslim. They would be chasing and running after the Torah and go crazy after it. V'lo Yichoshev B'neim, they wouldn't think in the minds of Mali Oilom Kesev V'zov Lem Uma. Gold, silver, gashmis would mean nothing to them. Ki haTorah keileles kol haTovi shebaOlam. The Torah includes all goodness in the world. So that's why the Samachta B'cholat, what is kol haTov? Torah is kol haTov. If you would appreciate the Torah, you wouldn't need anything else in life to give you happiness. There's a medrash in Ruz, which is mamish yisoid in life. An unbelievable yisoid to take with you and carry with you. And that is, the Pasuk tells us that Boaz tells Ruth he's willing to do Yibum to marry her. However, there's a closer relative who comes first, Ploini Almoini. First, we have to check up with Ploini Almoini if he is interested. If he's not interested, Boaz says, then I'll marry you. So, a Boaz Ola Hashar, Perek Dalad of Ruth begins. Boaz goes up to Bezdin. He has to tell Bezdin that he's ready. But they should go and check with Ploini Almoini. Now, Beis Din have to send out people looking for Ploini Almoini and subpoena him and ask him, are you interested? So now Ploini Almoini could be anywhere at this time. He could be in a business trip in China. We don't know where he is. And it so happens that Boaz didn't know this, Beis Din didn't know it, but we know it. That Boaz died 24 hours later. So it's pretty important that you go quickly. So what happens? Boaz goes to Beis Din, and Boaz now are going to look for Ploini Almoini. Says the Pasuk, V'hine ha-goyel oiver. And V'hine, the Mepharshim explained, means, like the Malbim, V'hine means instantly, suddenly, he was there. The goyel was going by. What do you know? What a coincidence. The goyel happened to be walking past Beis Din. What are the chances? The Medrash asked the Kasha, was the goyel standing behind the door? What's the pshat that at that very moment the goyel should be there? So the Medrash says, Amar of Nachman by Yitzchok, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Afilu haya b'seifa oilam, even if the goyel would be at the other end of the world, he could be at a business trip in China. Ani hitisai, I would fly him in. You know the word nivrit for a plane? You know what the word is? Matos. See, matos, a plane. I could have spoken before a plane. Ani hitisai. Hakadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll fly him in to make sure it should work out everything. And then the Medrash says these immortal words to carry with you. Amar Rabbi Lozer. Boyas osa shaloi. Boyas did his part. Naomi yesa shalo. Naomi did her part. Rus osa shalo. Rus did her part. Omra HaKadosh Baruch says, Af ani eses shli. I'll make sure it happens. I'll do my part. When you've done everything you can in life, the Rabbanu Shalom make sure you have Siyat Dishmaya after that. A lesson in life. And you look, it's a Rashi also, in what we just laid in Parashat Bamidbar. The Pasuk says, V'ayif kodoysom, Moshe counted Klai Yisrael al pi Hashem, says Rashi al pi Hashem, Omer Moshe l'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Levium accounted from a month old. How can I go into the tents? The Das Minyan Yon came to know how many children they have. Omalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Asay Asas Yilcha, you do yours, Vani Eseshli, I'll do mine. Holach Moshe, Moshe went, he stood by the door, and the Shechina went, and there was a baskel told him how many are there. Remember this for life. So Gemara in Bava Kamma that says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moav, Al Teitzer Es Moav, don't start up with Moav. This Gemara, Bava Kamma Lamed Ches. Baltiska b'milchama. So the Gemara asks, why should Moshe start up with Moav? So the Gemara says, Moshe would make a kal v'chomer. If the Midianim that only came to help Moav, the Torah says you'd fight with them and wipe them out. Moavim asmon le kolshkein. Kolshkein should fight the Moavim. Bakash Baruch said to him, no, don't. Why not, says the Gemara? Loi kushos al datcha, not like you think you're kal v'chomers. Shtei predes tov, like two pigeons, yesh lohitzmen. I've got two great people going to come out from them. Rus hamavia v'nama hamoinis. I want to bring from Moav Rus, so you can't destroy Moav. Now, I'm sure you all remember that in Yerichoy, there was somebody who had to be saved. Who had to be saved in Yerichoy? Jericho. Yeah, who had to be saved there?
The woman that saved them.
Yeah, what's her name?
The one that...
Her name was a Rage.
Good, Rage,
forget
it.
Rage,
what comes after Rage?
Yud.
Ches.
No,
Kaf, okay.
Right?
Hey, we got
it. So Rachav had to be saved. I was like, she had to be saved. So what did they do? They made arrangements to save her and her family. You have to save the whole town of Yericho because you want to save her. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, if Moav deserves to be destroyed, and you've got a problem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Rus to come out, so why can't he just destroy the whole country and you leave Rus's family around? What's the pshat? Ben Yehuda says an incredible pshat. He says that why was Rus Zoicha? To Malchus Beis David, Melech HaMashiach. How does she have such a schus? Because who was she? She was a princess. She was living the good life. And she gave up everything to join Klal Yisrael. Giving up everything means not only everything, like we think everything, literally everything. She became mamish, a beggar, a schnorrer. Never. She didn't have food or to eat. And nobody and nothing. And she gave that up. The Malchus to become a Yid. That mysterious Nefesh gave her Malchus Beis David. What would have happened if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have wiped out Moav and kept her family alive? So she would have come from a family, stomach family. A family had Yoytas. She wouldn't have been a princess because there's no country Moav. So then there wouldn't have been a mysterious Nefesh on her part. So it's true she would have become a Yid. She wouldn't have that schus then to be able to create Malchus Beis David. It was that mysterious Nefesh. When I saw the Bis Ben Yoda, I found this amazing. Because I always knew in life, you see this many times in Bala Musa, there are people who are alive. You know what? They deserve to die. You know why they're alive? Because their children don't deserve that they should be a Saimim. Their wife doesn't deserve to be an Almona. There's a stock organization they help. They've got business partners. Because the world needs them. So they're alive, not in their own Schusim, but the people around them don't deserve to be punished. And that can keep somebody alive. Now I found there's another reason a person can be alive. You can be alive just to be a prop. They are props in a play, Moav. Moav and not need, have no schus to be alive. It's just Rus needed a mysterious Nefesh. So we have to keep them alive to play the props in the play. So that way Rus can have that mysterious Nefesh. Not any schus at all. They're just being there to be used as props. Fascinating idea. Have a good yontif.
That is rather
happy. Yeah, it is.